بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, before I begin tonight, I'd like to remind all of you that inshallah there will be a procession on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Inshallah, all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat will be there. I believe it's at Fordson at 9:30. So inshallah, all of us will be there and we'll be able to demonstrate to the world and to the imam of the time our loyalty and our willingness to come outside and let people see our beliefs, inshallah. Our Prophet was told to draw strength from the story of Dawood alayhi salam. If Allah gives tawfiq, I'd like to mention the verse where our Prophet is told to draw strength from this story. Actually, when we see the story of Dawood, we see more and more that he is the madhar and he is the representation of Allah's quwwah and Allah's strength. Now, the question that I'd like to ask is that we all are supposed to, inshallah, becoming champions like Dawood. As is said in the verse, and then we heard what the words of Talut were. This is what God says in the Quran. It says, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that Allah defeated the enemy. Though the enemy horde, he defeated him through the mu'mineen with his permission. وَقَتَلَ Dawood Jalut. Dawood had the tawfiq of killing this terrible tyrant. Now, because we want to make this a practical reminder for all of us, we all want to become those champions of Islam. We all want to be those people who God does great things through. And that's completely possible for us to be a means of Allah doing great actions in this world, of the Imam returning and being pleased. The question is, what keeps us back? How come when we look in our own personal lives, sometimes we don't see that we actually are those people who are the best representatives of Islam? We don't see greatness coming out of us. Sometimes we see ourselves coasting when it comes to our secular lives, our worldly lives. Sometimes when it comes to our spiritual lives, we don't see where we're at, where we want to be. And of course, and I include myself in this, we don't see that we've achieved what we are capable of. The question is, why don't we? And how can we fix that? Now, I'll start off, before I even get to the verses that we want to discuss, inshallah, tonight, which will be from Surah Sa'd. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajam. Now, before we actually get to the verses describing the story of Nabi Dawood in Surah Sa'd, before we get to them, I'd like to go over a little preliminary that inshallah will be helpful for all of us. Now, the God who we worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the God of miracles. From the very beginning of Islam, we've been seeing and witnessing that Allah has performed miracles on the hands of the believers. And we know that our Imam is only as strong as we, his followers, are. But God has been showing us again and again how he can do miracles through by so many means, not even mu'mineen or mu'minat, animals. For instance, story that we know, the Kaaba was protected from the tyrant of that time by birds. Our Holy Prophet, his life was protected when the enemy were searching out the Holy Prophet and they wanted to kill the Prophet, and they actually came to the cave where the Prophet was, but Allah made there be a web, and they said nobody could be in there. If he was really in there, then the web would be broken. How could there be an old web there? And that web protected him, let alone the actual presence of believers. Allah brought the tyrant Pharaoh down through Musa, through the stick of Musa. He raised Musa in the house of Pharaoh after Pharaoh was looking for him and had wanted to kill him, was killing thousands of people in order to get to him. God showed his power. So the thing is that we believe these things. Why is it that we find that we're not those miracle makers? We're not, miracles aren't happening through us, although Allah is a God of miracles. Why aren't we those champions for Islam? What's holding us back? Now, before I get to the actual part, because the verses that we're going to cover are going to talk about miracles of these Anbiya, of Nabi Dawood. Sometimes what happens, and I've even seen this myself, where you start to discuss what we find in the ayat of Quran or ahadith of Ahlul Bayt about these wonderful personalities, and you can see the kind of disbelief and skepticism on people's faces. It's a little hard to believe. Really? You can see it sometimes. People are respectful to Quran and Sunnah. It's not that they don't believe in Quran and Sunnah, but to really fully accept, to really fully believe, you can see it on the faces. When you talk about these things, sometimes I used to be surprised. Sometimes I would be giving a class, for instance, and I would try and explain that this is a point and it's established in Islam. And I would say, for instance, there is an ayah of Quran and it says this. And I remember sometimes the mu'mineen or mu'minat in the class, that would, you know, okay. It wasn't that it was so, okay, there's an ayah of Quran. God said, it's all over, let's move on. Oh, really? Okay, you know, maybe. Which is sad. If you and I, if we don't believe Quran, it's not the word of God for us. It's like, okay, well, convince me, explain to me. Right? There's deficiency in the faith. And we're not able to experience God's greatness. We're not able to be madhar or madhahir of Allah's greatness. We're not able to do those great acts. There's a hadith that's a little bit challenging for us, right? It shows us our responsibility. The hadith is this. The Imam explains to us. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, "La yasduqu imanu abdin." So the faith of any believer, male or female, is not true until لا يصدق إيمان عبد حتى يكون بما في يد الله سبحانه أوثق منه بما في يده. You don't really truly believe in God. You don't really have true faith, the faith that we're supposed to have. I don't have it. You don't have it. Until I believe more in what's in God's hand than what I can see in my own hand. Until the promises of Allah aren't more true for me than empirical evidence, what I can see, my faith isn't complete. I'm still not useful the way I should be. I still don't believe. I'm getting there. Alhamdulillah, mu'min, mu'mina. But to say I really believe, I'm really useful, God will do great things through me, not until I believe more in what God says than even what's in front of me. My faith is that strong to be able to see through the lens of Quran. That the mu'mineen, remember this is now from the time of Ahzab, the Battle of Ahzab. When the enemy gathered around the mu'mineen and they were facing the largest army that had ever been raised in Arabia. Ever been raised. Some of the mu'mineen, when they saw this, they said, this is what Allah and His Messenger promised us. It increased them in faith. Whatever God says, on the outside, well, we're going to get wiped, eradicated. Never in history has an army this large been raised. Some of the ayat of the Quran, this increased them in faith. More belief in what is in Allah's hand than what I can see. That kind of faith. So what's holding us back? I want to give you an example. Sometimes you'll have someone who's very powerful. The ability lies within, but they're chained by their beliefs, false beliefs. For instance, an elephant. An example they give is an elephant. These circus elephants, right? 10 feet tall, maybe 5 feet. How huge is an elephant? They say, how do you keep the elephant trapped? They say, well, no, simple. You have a wooden peg in the ground, lock on the elephant's foot. They say, how did this happen? This elephant can pick a tree up and rip it out of the ground. How could you keep an elephant chained in this way? They say, oh, it's real simple. What you do is when the elephant's little, you get a metal hook, a chain, you put it on the elephant's foot, a stake, right? The elephant's little. He tries to pull. Maybe even his foot is bleeding, the little elephant. He realized, I cannot pull this stick out of the ground. Once I'm locked in, that's it. Maybe he pulls one time, two times, three times. It's no way for me to do this. Later on, even when the elephant grows up, do you have that, put that chain on? The elephant stays there. The belief keeps the elephant from going forward. I don't believe it. I can't. I tell myself I can't. Now, brothers and sisters, now let's make it a little bit more practical for ourselves, because I am so happy, and alhamdulillah, Allah has given the tawfiq to be addressing a crowd with so many of our youth. Alhamdulillah. Mu'mineen and mu'minat, ready to serve, gathering here in these, what we're calling the tent of Imam Hussein. They could be other places, but Allah has given them the tawfiq to come here to express their love and affection for Imam Hussein and to renew their covenant with him. So it's so wonderful to see. Also, the idea is that many people, either they've completed their secular education or they're doing that right now, right? So educated people, we're all sitting here and we're listening to the majalis of Imam Hussein. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, secular education, even before we get to the universities, comes with some residue. Sometimes our beliefs are affected by the education we have. Sometimes the principles on which this secular society was built, even though I'm mu'min or mu'mina, even though I believe in the wilayah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, somehow I've accepted some of these principles. For instance, moral relativism. For instance, rationalization. For instance, empirical science is God. There's some mu'min and mu'mina, if there's scientific evidence which backs up an ayah of the Quran, their iman increases. Science has said this, the Quran is now true, alhamdulillah. Whereas brothers and sisters, we have to move past that. That's the early stages of iman. How do they get us in? They tell us about the scientific miracles. No, I'm not denying them. But because science confirmed Quran, I believe in Quran? Or is the Quran intellectually a miracle? And I'm convinced of that. And I believe in that. And I can argue about that. I'm not waiting for science to confirm. So what happens is, sometimes some of these, the social contract. Why is it that somebody should rule? As a, very much opposed to what we're saying is wilaya of God. God chooses. But sometimes you'll find that some of these principles on which this secular society was built, feminism, for instance, it seeped into the back of our minds. Yes, I believe Quran, Hadith, these things, but sometimes that faith isn't perfect, isn't complete. So we have to make sure that none of these beliefs are holding us back and keeping us from experiencing God's best. Now, I want to mention something. This is something else that so sometimes, even if I'm presented with an ayat of Quran, because I've learned the secular way of evaluating things, I haven't been taught and trained by Quran and Sunnah from the beginning, I use those standards to measure what's right and what's wrong. And you see it in the questions that people ask. Now, I'm mentioning this to you guys because, okay, we're all working to become the khawas. We're all working to become the leaders and bringing other people to the path. If we're trying to bring other people to the path, okay, we don't have these problems. Well, the society outside does. I'll give you another example, and then after that, the hadith. Sometimes you want to mention the finer points of imamah, what it means to be an imam. Even I've seen this happen in the Hawza. There's some people, if you tell them the reality of what an imam is and what an imam can do and what an imam is supposed to be like, you can see that little bit of disbelief. Really? It should be like that. The imam can do that. That much power the imam has, bi'idhnillah. So what do? One of the things that they do for us in the Hawza, and we can keep this as a principle when we're talking to other people, is very quickly, after they mention that the imam is like this, they'll give a Quranic precedent. For instance, you'll say, the imam can bring the dead back to life. And some people, oh really? So Isa alayhi salam, you accept Quran. In the Quran, Isa alayhi salam could bring the dead back. And then the person calms down. Sometimes if we're talking about some of these principles of Islam, we want to go over and knock down some of those pillars of secularism for the people so they find it plausible, Islam. Even to find Islam plausible. Because sometimes you can see people almost scoffing when it comes to Islam. That's how come I'm not mentioning the miracles of Dawood yet. We're not ready, I don't feel. We need to work on that. And if we are ready, inshallah, Allah bless us, then let's think about some of these things for those who are outside, those who are trying to convince and trying to move in the right direction. So what happens is sometimes our belief system, those principles that we've come to accept, that holds us back from being those true warriors and soldiers for Islam. Sometimes it holds us back from receiving certain knowledge. Even as a speaker, when you see the audience isn't ready for certain things, then you hold back. You say, okay, well, let me bring everybody one step forward. Let's remind ourselves of one of the things that we do find acceptable. Don't go up 10 steps up and then everybody falls down and right? And that's actually the point. Keep this in mind because you all are also doing work on others and bringing other people in. And you're supposed to be raising the level of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. You don't want to explain some principles about Islam. The result is that mu'min leaves Islam, doesn't understand Islam. You say, no, I'll wait. I'm not going to force everything down your throat. We'll go gradually. This is now the instructions even the Anbiya had. So the hadith tells us that the Prophet never used his entire intellectual capacity and spoke to people with that. The Prophet wouldn't speak to us at his level. He'd bring it down. And he mentioned this principle. He says that, إِنَّا مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ So we prophets, أُمِرْنَا We've been instructed, we've been commanded, أَن نُكَلَّمَ النَّاسَ عَلَى قَدْرِ أُقُولِهِمْ We've been taught. We've been told by God to speak to people at their level. So sometimes that readiness, that lack of readiness that's within us, we can't even hear the better information, the true status of Ahlul Bayt, because we're not ready. And the instructions are, don't break the people. Right? So the readiness, if it's not in there, if we're going to scoff at the ayat of the Quran, really, the prophet's like that? Then that's detrimental. Then we got to go a lot slower. So even now, if we're trying to do tarbiyah of other people, we don't rush. There were brothers, I remember this one brother, Allah protect him. With every individual that he would meet, this brother was somebody who was always thinking, always aware of being in the presence of God. And he would work on people. But what he told me was this. He said, I take everybody I meet as a project. Remember that in Islam, the way our mission was built was on human capital, right? More important than buildings and money and all of these things are you and I, human beings. The Prophet built his mission on human pillars, mu'mineen and mu'minat, who are carrying the faith. The other things will come, money will come, everything will come. It's those human pillars. So this guy, he knows how important each one of the mu'mineen and mu'minat are. So each person he met, he would think carefully, how do I talk to this person? How do I bring this person along the path? Sometimes he might wait for years to give you the right information. He wouldn't rush. Not in a hurry. We'll sit, we'll talk, we'll be friends. Later he would see the soul is receptive. Now the person can listen. Now it's time for me to go over with tawassul, with dua, with istighfar. Now go over and say that one point. And the results were amazing. If you'll find a mu'min or mu'mina who's patient enough to see when is the person ready to hear. Like Imam Ali says, don't say everything you know. Don't say everything you know. The khawas are careful. They think, they're watching. They're trying to bring everybody along the path. Then I see, no, alhamdulillah, the heart's a little bit more ready, a little bit more of the truth. So this is actually a principle that we learn. The Prophet wouldn't speak to people at his level. He would speak at the level of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. He would try and bring them along on the path. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So sometimes what holds us back are wrong beliefs principles that we've accepted outside of the path of Ahlul Bayt. Instead of taking them to be the Ark of Noah, I think as Ahlul Bayt have taught me to think. Those principles they've given me. That's how I judge what's haq and what's batil. Instead of that, I've accepted other principles. Sometimes the problem, brothers and sisters, the reason that God doesn't perform miracles through us is that we lack or we have deficiency in belief in the power of God. Sometimes the reason that people don't get their du'as answered, God doesn't do great things through them. He doesn't pull them out of, and you other people, because they've got so much hope and faith, they're able to do it, is because the person actually has a deficiency in their understanding of the power of God. A weakness in their understanding of the power of God. They don't really believe that. I remember hearing a story once. They said once these little kids, they had come into a school, and they see that there's a pile of apples on the table. And next to the pile of apples, it was a Catholic school, the nun had written, "Only take one apple, God's watching." So the kids come in, each one takes one apple, then they look over and they see there's another table, and it's a pile of cookies. Over there, another little kid had written a note. He said, "Get as many cookies as you want. God's watching the apples." Right? So sometimes we have a deficient understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His power, what He can do. And because they don't understand the power of God, God can make the what is impossible. The hadith tells us this. It says, expect the unexpected more than you expect the expected. The power of God to do things. All I have to do is true effort. Make effort. God can make what is impossible for human beings possible. To be able to have that much faith. Sometimes that's the issue. Another one which is really terrible, and we have to be very, very careful about, brothers and sisters, one of the things that stops us from receiving God's goodness, not being able to achieve, not being able to be those soldiers and warriors of the Imam, is sin. Masiyah. One of the things that holds us back, because our faith, there's no one on the face of the earth who has faith like us. Our Iman, nobody has it. But what keeps me back? Masiyah. Violating Allah's laws. Even if I have correct belief in Allah, I continue to disobey God, after a while I don't believe the promises. Sometimes it's inconvenient to keep believing. If I really believe there is Yawmul Qiyamah, I really believe if I commit sin, I will burn in hell. How can I keep telling myself, I'm committing this sin, I'm not making tawbah, I enjoy this sin, I flaunt this sin, and I'm going to burn in the hellfire? The easy way out, who says there's really a hellfire? God's forgiving, Arhamur Rahimeen. It's much easier to tell myself that than to keep believing. Allah will burn this person in hell if they don't stop doing that action. It's much more difficult to believe that. So what happens is sin can eat away at Iman. Sometimes it gets so bad, the Iman is taken away. Sometimes what happens is certain a'mal that we were doing, we have hadith. This person, they had the tawfiq to perform Salatul Layl, they perform a certain sin, they don't wake up the next day. Sometimes, no, it's not just certain a'mal. The faith itself can be taken. And people go back to God, sometimes angry with God. I heard a story once, terrible, inshallah, it doesn't happen to any of us. One sister, she was suffering, let's say, from cancer for a long time, and she had been a good mu'mina. And she was suffering and suffering with this disease, till finally she's going back to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah didn't deem it wise to remove the sickness from her. What she said was, "Nastajiru billah, Allah let me down. So I'm going back to meet God on my deathbed. I'm angry at Allah." So despairing in the mercy of Allah, that's a sin, right? Having wrong beliefs, sometimes beliefs or sins can eat away at the faith itself. So we never want to do that. So sometimes that's the problem. Another time is when we don't really truly understand the potential that we have as human beings. our potential as human beings is greater than that of anyone. This is very different to what we're going to find in the West. We have that hadith where they ask the imam, they tell the imam, they said, are we better or the malaika? Are we greater or the malaika, the angels? And the imam gave the answer of Amirul Mu'mineen. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَكَّبَ فِي الْمَلَائِكَ عَقْلًا بِلَا شَهْوَةً. Allah gave the angels aql, intelligence, but he didn't give them that challenge that we have, lusts. He says, the animals, they were given lusts, but they weren't given that great gift that you were given as human beings with aql. He says, so whoever is aql, their intelligence, overcomes the shahwa, this person is greater than the malaika. And he says, whoever the opposite, even though God has granted them this gift of knowing Him, of manifesting Allah's names, the shahwa runs their life, this person can become worse than the Baha'im and the animals. Worse than shaitan. Our potential is greater than that of the jinn. God forbid, if a human being goes to the other side, shaitan whispers. Human beings who become shayateen, they don't whisper, they'll get in your face. They will kill you. They'll send drones into your country, kill you, massacre you, slaughter you in cold blood for business. Worse than the shayateen. So our potential is greater than that of the malaika. Now what happens is, this is also different. You know another thing that you guys have noticed, and this, keep this in mind as khawas. One thing that you'll find that they keep promoting and keep pushing is the idea of evolution. The theory of evolution, but they almost make it like a deen, like a religion. And they mock and they scoff and bring so much evidence. Even you find sometimes mu'mineen and mu'minat are getting intimidated by the theory of evolution. Can I find a way to justify in the Quran evolution? Is there a way without me becoming kafir? Now, I don't want to get into that argument. Something else, inshallah, brothers and sisters, do research themselves. But you know one of the messages that they push, and I'm sure you guys have seen this in the movies, the idea is that you as a human being are an advanced animal. You as a human being are an advanced animal, right? And you're waiting until artificial intelligence comes and there's a being greater than you. As opposed to what you find in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, that you're the greatest, you're the best, you're higher than the malaika, you're higher than the angels. Instead of that, no, you human beings, first of all, you're animals. Whereas Islam teaches what? لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We've honored the children of Adam, the greatest of our creation. So what happens is they're pushing that. I remember sometimes it's even in families. One time they said there was this mother and she was talking to her child and the child came to her and he said that the little girl came to her mom and said, Mommy, who made us? How did we get here? And she said, well, God made Adam and Eve and Adam had offspring and then eventually we came here. The little kid then went to her dad. Mom wasn't around. She went to the dad. She said, Dad, who made us? He said, oh, we evolved from monkeys. She came back to Mommy. She said, Mommy, Daddy said that we evolved from monkeys. You're saying God made us? How can this be the case? You lied to me? Mom said, no, I didn't lie, and Daddy didn't lie either. Daddy's talking about his relatives. So, but some people, they get caught up in this. Like, they believe these things. We don't want to make sure, that none of this, God forbid, happens to us. So sin, brothers and sisters, is one of those things that we want to avoid. Those wrong beliefs are something we want to avoid. And out of the sins that are devastating to the soul of a mu'min or mu'mina, one of the major, most terrible sins that we could possibly commit is the idea of abandoning the prayer. Let me ask a question from you guys. Let's see who can help out in this question. Which sin is more terrible? Which sin is more terrible? The sin of drinking khamr and alcohol like Yazid, or the sin of abandoning salah? Which one? Salah or sin? Salah. Brothers, This is from Ayatollah, may Allah have mercy on his soul, Ayatollah Fadhil Lankarani. He says, the sin of abandoning salah is worse than that of alcohol, although we will lash you 80 lashes, God forbid. In the time of Imam Mahdi, if somebody drinks alcohol, the punishment for drinking and being like Yazid is lashing. But you know what the hadith say about abandoning salah? They say the person who abandons salah, there's not lust involved. Let's say somebody's committing zina, God forbid. There's lust involved. Salah, no, there's no feeling. What? They say, the hadith, it says the person is kafir. Now, it doesn't mean kafir as in najis, as in they're out of Islam, right? But the heaviness and the weight of committing the sin of abandoning salah, I just don't pray. So that obviously that eats away at that faith. We're going to make sure, another hadith that's a little bit scary. This hadith, the mother of Imam al-Kadhim is telling this hadith. She says that when Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was on his deathbed, they said he told them, he said, gather everybody in the room. All of the family members, everybody. So everybody knows the Imam is about to pass. Gather everybody, bring them into the room. When they bring them into the room, the Imam looks at them and he says, the person who takes salah lightly will never get our shafa'ah. Not the person who doesn't pray. If somebody even takes salah lightly, it's not that important. This person will not get shafa'ah. So we have to be really careful about these things. We don't want to mess up on these different things. Now, okay. I was about to go over and tell you guys about the verses which talk about, first of all, the Prophet deriving strength from the story of Dawood and the miracles of Dawood. If you guys don't mind, maybe, because we've got like 4 minutes, so very quickly, just one or two of those verses, and we'll leave the rest of the discussion, inshallah, for later. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Now, one of the things to keep in mind, brothers and sisters, is that the spiritual, we don't want to scoff when you hear these things about our Prophet, because the spiritual station of the Prophet, this is from Ayatollah Jawari Amali, may Allah protect him and give him long life, and long life to all of the Maraja. He says the spiritual status of Nabi Dawood was that Nabi Dawood was an imam. The highest spiritual station that a human being can have, even after being a Rasul, is to be an imam. And he was an imam. Okay? Now, one of the things that they describe about him, right? One of the things that they describe about him in this verse, so this is Surah Sa'd, right? Surah number 38 and verse number 17. It says, Isbir ala ma yaqulun. Instructions to our Prophet. Be patient about the things that they're saying. As a prophet, as a mu'min, struggling in the way of Allah, you will hear a lot of adha, people bothering you, saying things against you. Then he says, and mention our servant, Dawood. But inshallah, we'll leave the sifat and the traits, inshallah, of Dawood for another time. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.